Praise the Lord. Truly, the Lord is in this place today. Truly, His Holy Spirit is touching each and every person's heart right now. We hold Pastor Bill up, too. He's teaching at a Calvary up in Denver right now. He's filling in for a pastor up there. So he asked me to kind of share a couple of thoughts today. That being the case, there are Bibles in the back. Feel free to take one. If you are new here, welcome. We're a small congregation, but praise God, you know, the Holy Spirit is definitely alive and well in this congregation for sure. So today we're going to talk about one of the best, most fun things as a Christian that we can have, and that's called fiery trials.
Is that why it's hot outside?
That's right, fiery trials. Boy, aren't they fun. Understand clearly that trials and are not unique to the Christian walk. They are not unique. They're actually worldwide. Where I work, which my brother in the back there came here to heckle me, he understands, they are everywhere. A lot of people are going through deep water. A lot of people are going through areas of life that they have no answer. They have no hope. They have nothing. It's like, why, Lord, are all these, why did we go through all of these things? What's going on? Why is this happening? Well, actually, it happened at the very beginning. At the very beginning, when God created man, He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. A living soul, eternal. You will live eternally. You say, well, I'm getting old. That's correct. But this is a covering. You are eternal because of God's breath breathed into you. At that moment in time, the battle line was drawn. The battle line for your soul. The battle line for your comfort. The battle line for your peace. The battle line for your hope was drawn. That battle line is being challenged every day. As the world continues to go into and migrate into chaos, those battle lines are becoming more distinct. The fiery trials increase. But the fiery trials are increasing for the Christian for one reason and one reason only. And that is to increase our faith. How is that possible, Lord, that you are increasing our faith through these trials? How is that possible that all of these things that I'm going through and the pain and the suffering and the things that seemingly are insurmountable, how is it that that's working for my good? Paul says, all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to Him. How is that possible? What's going on there? What am I missing, Lord, that helps us walk through these things? 1 Peter, our passage today is going to be in 1 Peter. And we're going to discover or explore that. Because the battle lines have been drawn since the beginning of time. The enemy's objective is to seek, to kill, and to destroy. That's it. God's plan is eternal salvation and security and assurance through Him. So as the world goes through the fiery trials, they have no hope. As we go through the fiery trials, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Him and what His finished work is. And Peter is exhorting the Christians, the early Christians in 1 Peter, he's exhorting them, stand firm. Don't be tossed about by every wave of doctrine. Stand firm in Him. I'm reminded of Joshua when Moses died. Joshua was given the command. And God told Joshua, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whatever trial, whatever fiery trial you're going through, He is with you. And He is with you for one purpose and one purpose only. and that is to strengthen your faith. Now, faith, I read in Hebrews, looked up the word substance. The word substance, when it talks about faith, is the substance of things not seen. Substance is the important part of your eternal security. In other words, standing firm in God's promises. Because as we go through these things, we see His promises being fulfilled. We see His promises being, you know, blessed on us, blessed with His promises. We see those. And every time that happens, our faith grows stronger in Him. Lord, thank You for bringing this to us. Thank You for bringing me through this darkness. Thank You, Father, for securing me. Thank You, Father, for being that hedge about me. Peter understood that. He understood that when he was speaking to the early Christians, and we'll pick it up in chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to begin with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That battle line that was drawn in Genesis, the battle line that was drawn was removed in that verse. Because His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He won. He has. So those who are in Christ have been born again. But we've got to verse 4, and that, by the way, I think it's interesting in the writing of Peter. This is the longest, this is a very long sentence. Verse 4, he's resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, verse 3, to an inheritance incorruptible, number 1, undefiled, number 2, does not fade away, number 3, number 4, reserved in heaven for you. Wow. Wow. Inheritance. You know what's interesting about the word inheritance? You didn't do anything. It's not you. It's His gift that we have inherited. Inheritance. And my brother Rady did a beautiful comparison, inheritance, adoption, and what have you, in one of the men's groups. Absolutely unbelievably blessed. Inheritance is when you have someone who is giving you something. You inherit what I have. In other words, I'm giving that up. I'm giving it to you. My inheritance is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave up His life for me. I inherited His righteousness. Man, that's awesome. Not only is it an inheritance that He's given me, verse 4, it's incorruptible. Cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. Cannot. God, when God speaks, it's firm. It is committed. He said, in the beginning God spoke. In the beginning God spoke the worlds into existence. When God speaks, His word cannot return unto Him void, and it will come to pass. When He says, I've got you in my hand, and no man can pluck you from my hand, that is eternal. That is eternal, guys. And when we go through fiery trials, those are the things that He wants us to remember. I've got you, no matter what it is, I've got you. Those are hard words sometimes when we're going through the real hot fires. And sometimes those fires and those trials and tribulations can be so heavy, you want to quit. You want to say, I'm done. Lord, this is too heavy for me. It's too sorrowful. My heart is crushed. I can do nothing. You know what? You're not alone. You're not alone in that. Job was a mighty man. He was a wealthy man. He had everything going for him. And he lost everything. He cursed the day that he was born. He said, I should have never been born. Many others. Moses, when he was upset with the Israel. He was upset with Israel. He said, God, these are your people. I'm done. I'm out. God said, no. We get there sometimes too, and we want to give up. But that's our choice. I can either say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand this fiery trial. I don't understand the heaviness in my heart. I don't understand the things that are going on, but Lord, I know you've got me. Because you said right here, we are an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. My undefilement is in Christ Jesus. It's in his righteousness, not in mine. If we're in mine, we would be all, we would be just like the world, no hope. Does not fade away, cannot be changed. And it's reserved in heaven for me and for you. So Peter writes in here, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. There is the litmus test for your walk with the Lord. Am I trusting in God? Am I trusting in his finished work? Am I trusting in his provision? Am I trusting in him, or am I trusting in myself? Am I being grieved by these trials? Yes. The world is grieved by their trials too, but they have no hope. You have a hope. We have a hope in him. And the purpose of that trial is in verse 7. The purpose of those trials that we go through is to really see where we're at. Really see where we're at. Many of you drove here today. You have a driver's license. Well, guess what you had to do to get the driver's license? Take a test to see if you were qualified. The genuineness of your training, the genuineness of your walk, the genuineness of your faith. So it's trying my faith. It's showing me where I'm at. It's showing me, am I, Lord, trusting in you, or am I trusting in my abilities? Am I trusting in my finances, my health, my family? Or, Lord, do I humbly bow before your throne? Say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I belong to you. Your will be done. Because he wants to bless you like you have no, we, the human mind and heart and soul cannot comprehend the blessings and glory that God has waiting for us. Can't. This is all temporary, folks. These fiery trials. All of you, think back about when you went through some real deep water. Think back when you went through some fiery trials. Maybe financial, maybe health-wise. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe a relationship. He brought you through to this moment in time to confirm to you he's got you. The genuineness of your faith. Why is that? Because it's more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. We all, there's millions of voices in the world, millions of directions, millions of, you know, everyone has a theory, everyone has a story, everyone has all of these things. But the most precious thing in the entire universe is our walk with the Lord and our faith in him. Because that's what God says. Dennis taught last week about the purpose of God. What is his purpose? His purpose is in creating man is to fellowship with man. He wants to dwell with us. And the reason he wants to dwell with us, because the glory that we seek, the happiness, the security, the assurance, all of those things that we seek in on this earth are in him. Think about that one. They're in him. And he makes it clear to us, this is why I'm here. So it's more precious than it perishes. It says, than gold that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe it's in Proverbs when God's talking about smelting. What they do is when they smelt silver, they continue to turn the heat up, and the dross from that metal begins to float to the top. And the metalsmith scrapes it away, and he turns up the heat a little higher, and he scrapes it away until he turns up the heat a little, and then more dross comes to the top. That's what the trials do for us. It brings to the surface my insecurities. It brings to the surface the things that I struggle with. It brings to the surface my lack of faith. It brings to the surface my failures and all the other things. And Christ, through the Holy Spirit, takes that dross and he just washes it away. We are being tried that we may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm going to tell you, Hebrews talks about this a little bit. It talks about there's a great shaking that's going to be coming. The great shaking is going to shake the entire world, the universe, everything. That great shaking, God's promised. What's going to happen is this: the dross is going to come to the surface. The things that we have our hope in, the things we have, all of that's going to come to the surface. That great shaking is going to try your faith. It'll be a fiery trial, and it will try your faith. Lord, is this of you? And, you know, those who do not have Christ will go through those things just like you and I will, but guess what? Our hope is in him, and my faith is in him. That great shaking that's going to be coming right now is, all of this is being, we are being prepared for that moment in time when Christ is revealed. That's what this is about. That moment in time when the heavens will open up and the trumpet of God, the trumpet is a victory call, a victory call. And that when that trumpet is blown, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remaining will be caught up with him in the air. That trumpet, caught up in the air. He's not going to set his foot on the earth. That's down the road. But when he is revealed and we are caught up with him, the glory that will pass beyond human comprehension, praise and honor. So as my faith is being tried here on earth through fiery trials, it's causing me more to see God's promises are yea and nay. In other words, they are not, there's no ambiguity in his promises. They are all firm. So as I'm going through these trials, these fiery trials, and everyone in here is going through trials, and the ones that are not here are going through trials, and sometimes when we go through those trials, it gets us sometimes to the point where we want to give up. I've been there. I think most pastors that teach God's word have been there. You get, Lord, what's going on here? I don't understand this. He said, I'm strengthening you. I'm stretching you. What does that mean? I'm stretching you to trust in my promises, to trust in my finished work, to trust in me. That's what I'm beginning to do. Joshua said, be strong. I spoke to Joshua, be strong and courageous. He gave, that's a commandment. The Lord, your God, he is with you. He is with you to the ends of the earth. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are my child. And when he paid for it all on the cross and he said, it is finished, that was just the beginning of the story. When he said, it is finished, there was a gap, a three-day gap. Because then when he rose from the dead, it was sealed. You're sealed. So as we go through these fiery trials, that's what's for. Not to break you, not to cause us to get depressed and down and hopeless attitudes. Oh, poor me, poor me. But Lord, show me what you're teaching me out of this. Verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. A lot of people say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. And I can tell you, a lot of people walk around with, you know, I'm not going to get into, you know, the weeds here, but you talk to people, I mean, my brother knows, you know, I talk to a lot of people during the daytime at my work, and everyone's a Christian. Everyone's going to heaven. Why do you think that? Well, because, you know, I wear this cross. I go to church. Okay? I read my Bible. I pray every day. That's why I'm going. No. No. The ones that are going to church, going to heaven, are the ones who are in Christ Jesus because he's there. The Bible says you are seated in the heavenlies right now. I don't know how that works. I have no way to explain it. He says, you are seated in the heavenlies. There is a seat there with your name on it. Think about that. So as you go through the fiery trials, your faith needs to be, Lord, I know my seat is up there, Lord. I hope it's not hooked up with electricity. But you're seated in the heavenlies, not because of you, not because of how great and wonderful you are or I am. Nope. It's because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So my faith has to grow in him. The more my faith grows, the harder the trials can become. The harder the trials become, the more my faith grows. Right? It's sort of like, it's a momentum. The more my trials come, the harder the trials come, the more my faith grows. And when I look back on my life, and I see, wow, Lord, you brought me through all these things. I was telling Jason and Callie earlier, my wife and I have been shoveling rock. 30 tons of rock, one shovel at a time. Okay? And, you know, I'm not a young guy any longer. And I'm lifting this rock, shovel at a time. And a little voice in my mind goes, those are all your sins that you're trying to deal with. That's your stuff you're trying to deal with, your doubt, your fears. All the things, you're just trying to shovel them over, trying to shovel those rocks. The little voice goes, you know what? What? The Lord spoke to me and he says, I want you to look up. I looked up. He said, what do you see? I said, blue sky. You see any rocks? No, Lord. He said, I've got them. My faith grows in those fiery trials. My faith grows in the things that really are designed in some cases through this earth to crush me, to cause me to doubt, to cause me to fear, to cause me to be unsure of myself, cause me to be, but you see, Christ has got it. It's his faith. It's his works. Bill mentioned it on Wednesday night, said when he texted me a message, Dave, we are saved by works. I went, oh, no, we're not. Bill said, and I saw Dave try to come through the phone. When you stand before God, there will be no dross. When you stand before him, which you will, there will be no lack of hope. The glory that will engulf you is his love, his mercy, and his grace. And as you go through these fiery trials, keep in mind it's the dross that's coming to the surface. It's my fears, my doubts, all of the things that this flesh has to offer. Because remember, it's a battleground. It's a full-on battleground. This is a spiritual warfare, folks. This is not some cosmos-related, warm, fuzzy, blah, blah, blah. Nope. It's a fierce battle for the battle of your soul. When God breathed eternal life into you, the battle line was drawn. From that point on, man, Like in, I think it's, I forget exactly where it's at. I'm not good at biblical addresses. But anyway, he said, man is born and sure as the sparks fly up, he's born into trouble. We all go through it. But those who are in Christ, right here, they are kept. I want you to go back to verse 5. Verse 5, you are kept. Who's doing the keeping? Me? Nope. The Lord Jesus Christ. You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. As we go through trials, the fiery trials, don't think it's strange that you're going through these. Peter talks about that. Don't think it's strange going through those, because it's to try your faith. It's to drive me to the Lord. Trials can either make you bitter or better. Think about that one for a second. Can make you bitter? Well, God, if you love me, why are you letting this happen? Or better? Lord, I don't understand this. It hurts like a doggone son of a gun. But I know you got it. And I'm going to rest in your glory. I'm going to rest in you. Because that's your promise, not mine. My rocks, I still see them. He doesn't. Verse 8, we talked about that. And whom having not seen you loved, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Everyone that's ever walked with the Lord has had those moments in your life, in the private, maybe the privacy or the loneliness in your time, when you finally sense the presence of Almighty God in your life. And when you sense that presence, it is so overwhelming, it humbles you right to the floor. I know that. Humbles you right to the floor. Say, well, I've never had that. Ask him. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. When you're going through those hard times, when you're going through those hard trials, those fiery trials that are, Lord, I'm knocking, I'm seeking, open. And then when the Holy Spirit will engulf you, and say, I got you. Man, those, I got to tell you, folks, my walk with the Lord, all of our walks, actually, just not just mine. The Holy Spirit, there are times in our lives when it's so overwhelming, you can't breathe. You cannot, I'm serious. Okay, I remember going to work early in the morning when we lived, anyway, it doesn't make it. Going early in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, I leave home and I walk out that front door and I look up and I see the universe. And I know who created that. I know him. He knows me. He knows exactly what we need. I look up there and it literally pulls the air out of my lungs. It's hard to breathe. Understand clearly that the God that controls the universe, the one who controls the very air that we are breathing, knows our fiery trials. He walks with us through those fiery trials. He's increasing our faith in those fiery trials. He has a position for you. You are seated in the heavenlies. Paul talks about that. The early Christian church went through some really hard times, and there may be times that we're going to, well, there is. There's going to be a big shaking coming. Financial, whatever it is. But understand clearly the fiery trials that you're going to go through, that I'm going to go through, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, the Creator of heaven and the universe, the one who controls all of this, is with us, like he said with Joshua. I will be with you. Ezekiel says, I will be with you. Not Ezekiel, but Isaiah. I will be with you through the fire. The fire shall not harm you. The floods shall not overtake you, because he's there. So my faith, when I'm going through these fiery trials, and we all do, we're all going through them. When I'm going through these fiery trials, that's my hope. That's our hope. The prophets knew this. I'm jump down to verse 10 here just briefly. The prophets knew this, and inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. They didn't understand any of this. You and I can look back in Christ, and we can look back on the cross, we can look back on the resurrection. Daniel says, you know, in the last days, knowledge shall increase and men shall be running to and fro. They're all running to and fro looking for that hope, that deliverance from the fiery trials. So the question today becomes, where are you today? Are you on that fine line of saying, I'm done? Are you on that area where you're going through a fiery trial and you don't understand? And you're having difficulty? Well, we have a choice. The choice is yours. I could choose to leave, or I could choose to say, Lord, you're with me. You have a hold in my hand and you're walking me through this. The trials are heavy, and the battle rages. I'm telling you straight up, and it's going to rage even more as time goes on. Especially as we get, as I get older, the battles are in my body. It's like getting a little bit rough around the edges. But know assuredly that the Lord is with you. Know assuredly that He is upon you, and without fail, be 100% sure and assured, without fail, He will take you through those trials. No questions asked. It's not about you, how great or us, or how great and wonderful we are, or read my Bible. Nope, it's about Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and His love for you that surpasses all. A-L-L. I want you to all understanding. I look in the mirror and go, Lord, why would you love that guy? He's a dork. But you know what? He loves dorks. So the battle rages. And before Joshua went into battle, that's what God told him. He says, I will be with you. So when the fiery trials come, which they will, we already shared that, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord, and He will direct your paths. Hang on. Fasten your seatbelt. You are loved with an everlasting love, and nothing, nothing can remove that. So when those trials come, I heard a story about a pastor who was teaching one time. And while he was teaching, one of the elders came up to him and said, whispered in his ear, your house is on fire. What? Your house is on fire. It's burning to the ground right now. So he finished his preaching and he went home, drove home fast, and nothing but ashes, smoldering ashes. He jumped out of his car and he started praising God. He said, wow! Wow, praise God. He's jumping around there and people are going, what in the world's wrong with you, man? Your house just burned down. Where's your God now? He says, I am so excited because I got to see what God's going to do next. This is so cool because He's got it. Maybe we should look at that when we're going through fiery trials. Lord, you got this. So the fiery trials that we're going through, and there's a lot of them going through it, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in His finished work. Our hope is in the fact that you are seated in the heavenlies. Our hope is in the fact that this battle belongs to the Lord, not you. The battle belongs to the Lord, and He will fight it for you. When He created man, the battle line was drawn. You're on one side or the other. On His side, He's already won. On the other side, the fiery trials will continue. Fear will continue. Doubt. All of the negative stuff. The Bible promised us that we were going to have that. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's Psalm 34:19. And God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him, what God speaks. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Just like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know if you know the story about the fiery furnace. The fiery furnace, there was three that went into the furnace. And when the king looked down in there, he saw four. How many came out? Three. Where's the fourth? He's in the furnace with you. He's in the fiery trials with you. So as we close, take that message. Understand that you are precious in the sight of God, far more than you could possibly know. And when you see him in his glory, all of this will fade away. It won't exist. So as we close in prayer, we'll let the Holy Spirit lead us through these trials as we walk through this life together with the Lord as our guide. So let's close. Father in heaven, Lord, we are humbled to be in your presence, number one. Lord, your word stands firm above all things. Lord, you are a king. Lord, you formed us in our mother's womb. Lord, you knew us before we were even born. You knew the trials that we were going to go through. You knew the heartaches that we were going to go through, the challenges, Lord, that you knew we were going to go through. And Lord, you orchestrated all of those so that we would keep our eyes on you. Lord, when we go through these fiery trials, Lord, help us be firm. Help us be at peace, Lord, that peace that passes all understanding, knowing, Father, that you have it all in control. Lord, you control the universe, all of these things. Lord, you hold the very breath that's in our lungs. So, Lord, we rejoice in your glory. We rejoice in your righteousness. Lord, we rejoice in your peace. Bless your word, Father, above your name, and all these things. And Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and the adoration. Our King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.